Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
So, new figures tell us that U2 are the highest earning band from Ireland or the UK so far this year. And Bono and Co have banked more than €118 million from 23 shows in Las Vegas, playing to 382,000 fans. Like Bono, U2, I should say, have been on the go since 1976. It's clear that almost 50 years later, they are still one of the biggest bands in the world. But I wonder, do we appreciate U2 here on the Emerald Isle? Jackie Convoy is with us from the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland. Are U2 underappreciated, Jackie?
100% they are. It's gas that people... It's like as if they're just taken for granted in a way. And then, like, when you look back when they started and that, and everyone was going, oh, this band is going to be amazing, this band, and then suddenly they become huge. And then the Irish way is, oh, God, no, they're terrible. And sure, he's coming out talking about, you know, rubbish, and he's, you know, the band aren't this or they aren't that. It's the Irish way in one sense that once you become successful, then they try and knock you. But I mean, you two would be considered, you know, from a lot of my friends in the music business as gods as well. But outside a certain circle, then they're just taken for granted and they're just, you know, oh, that's you two. OK, grand. But again, there was another issue going back in 2006 when they moved to their tax and stuff and the company over to the Netherlands and that. And there was a lot of people giving out about that. And then I was kind of going, well, they're a company, they're doing business, they have to do whatever is right for them.
It's entirely legal and above board, you know, but
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and yeah.
Was that just a wonder?
It was because our tax system here is crazy as well. Like, I mean, geez, they were dead right. I mean, when you look at our VAT and the way our tax thresholds are here compared to the UK, they were 100% right to do it. But again, the other side a lot of people don't see about U2 is they invest back in to the music industry here as well over the years. They've put a lot of money into, you know, where they set up a record company and then they took on new artists and all that. So they've done an awful amount of good, but you don't hear about it. They don't go around boasting about it. And in fairness, like, okay, Bono, he says whatever he thinks or whatever he's into, he comes out and says it and all that. And he gets knocked for that. And he would be regarded as one of the most annoying frontmen in the business. But he's right. If he has an opinion about something, he has every right to voice
make
it.
Make your point and say it, yeah. Okay, stay with me, Jackie, if you don't mind, for a few moments. Our own tech correspondent, Jess Kelly, is with me on the line. Because, Jess, you saw U2 in recent months at one of their Vegas shows at the Sphere.
Yeah, I did. And do you know what, Andrea? I'm one of those people that when I grew up, I listened to U2 because my older sister listened to U2. Mm. I kind of inherited her music taste and I never really thought that much about it. Then as I grew up, obviously, I've heard a bit of the begrudgery towards U2. But when I was standing in Sphere last September, chatting with people who've travelled from all around the world just to be in the same room as the band, never mind see them play live, I really understood the fandom. And it kind of strikes me as a bit odd that Irish people are so begrudging towards them. Like, you can't deny that Bono is a great songwriter and that some of the tracks are incredible and they have put Ireland on the map. Like, when Taylor Swift was in Ireland last week, the first thing she did was posted a photograph to her Instagram of the flowers sent by U2.
That's right.
So, like, they are an impactful powerhouse in the music industry. They are known the world over. They have placed Ireland on the map, and yet we still have a chip on our shoulder about them.
Do you know, it's funny, like, the whole discussion, well, a lot of the discussion in recent weeks, up to last weekend, obviously, about Taylor Swift playing at the Aviva Stadium. Coldplay will be the next big discussion at the end of August. And I was reading this morning that U2, they're almost over €35 million ahead of Coldplay in terms of live performance revenues. Like, yeah. And all we talk about is Coldplay. We never talk about U2.
Andrea, like, they are such a powerhouse, and I think we don't appreciate it at all. Like, another thing, like not just about the money, but again, in terms of representing this country, you know, when Bono published his book, they got David Letterman to come to Ireland. David Letterman, the very famous chat show host, and they got to walk around Dublin, show him parts of the city where they grew up. They are flying the Irish flag, and I understand that they're not everyone's cup of tea, but I do, like, the question that you asked earlier in the show of, you know, do we appreciate them or are we underappreciating them? I would say we absolutely are, and I don't understand it at all.
Was that your first time to see them live?
No, I actually have seen them live multiple times.
I've never seen them.
Oh, how have you not seen them live?
No, you should probably answer the question.
No, but come here to me. They're one of those bands, and we've had this conversation before, you and I, about different acts. You know, when you go to a gig and you think, I don't really know any of their songs. U2 is one of those artists that you go and you realise that you know every single one of them. It was like when I went to see Elton John. I wouldn't describe myself as a huge, big Elton John fan. I went along and I had the time of my life and I knew all of the songs. And I don't think I've ever, like, I've seen U2 four or five times live over the years, and I've never been to a bad U2 gig.
There you go. Jackie, how many times have you gone to see them?
I'd say I've only seen them twice, but I would have met Bono on the Edge at different times when I'd be in and out of, at the time, the factory, and when David Bowie was rehearsing and Bono was in to meet David Bowie, and I just happened to be there as well. So, and they're the most down-to-earth guys. And that's the one thing that I have to say about Bono. You know, he just chat away. But a point that I wanted to make as well is how the band keeps reinventing themselves. And just that they keep, you know, they keep up to, I suppose, to modern, you know, they remain up to date in a way of a band. And they keep are aimed to do this continuously, like, you know, in 50 years, like how they can just to this day, they are so modern.
It's only when you read in some of the articles and you see the, you know, the performances, the numbers that they've performed in front of, and you compare them then to the likes of Taylor Swift and Coldplay that we constantly talk about, and Niall Horan as well, Ed Sheeran, that you just realise, I mean, how hugely successful that they are. Padraig's on the line. Padraig, good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Are you a big U2 fan?
I would be definitely a fan of theirs for a long time, you know, and I had the pleasure of seeing them twice, once in Slane and in 87 in Cork, and lucky enough to have met Bono in Dublin, which was, as one of your commentators were saying, how down to earth they are. You know, we just took time with everyone.
Was that accidentally or just during a gig?
No, they were doing a movie shoot or a video shoot in the Abbey Theatre, I think, and we were just walking by, and I said, what's going on in there? And somebody says, oh, U2's inside doing a video. So then we just sort of hung around, and then they said, right, the band's going to come out. If you just give them a bit of space, they'll come and sign autographs or get photos with you. Bono, and the door opened and Bono came out and the rest of the band, they went away. But Bono came out and he stood around, took time with everyone. He was just like one of the... And we don't appreciate what they are and what a valuable asset they are to the country. I mean, any of their concerts, like people will travel all over the world just to see U2 in their hometown or their home country play because of that atmosphere, you know, and it just brings out a different atmosphere when you're playing live to your home crowd, like, you
know. I know, Jess, you mentioned that when you saw them at the Sphere in Vegas. Like, I know there were huge numbers of people from Ireland who'd bought the tickets and kind of incorporated it as a holiday and went out specifically to see Vegas or to see U2 at the Sphere in Vegas. But then you also met, as you said, so many others, like, you know, non-Irish citizens who've travelled to Las Vegas to see them as well.
Yeah, that there is a mass appeal. And I do think that there is a cohort of Irish people who do absolutely love them and would follow them to the ends of the earth. But I just found it a really important reminder to see that fans had travelled from Japan, from like all parts of the world to get to Las Vegas to see them play the two-hour show. Now, it was a special show, obviously, in a very special, unique location. But they are beloved. pretty much universally everywhere except in their home country. It's mad.
Fran is on the line. Fran, how many times have you got to see U2 in concert?
Probably about, I'm going up on at least six anyway, if not seven.
Wow, so you're a huge fan.
Yeah. I would be, yeah. Like, I'm following them probably since 83, 82.
And when was the last time?
Oh, 2017, the Joshua Tree Tour in Crow Park.
That was in Crow Park,
yeah. That was the last time. No, I would have given anything to see them in Vegas. But yeah. A bit over my pay grade, as they say. But yeah, no, they're brilliant. Like, and they are underestimated. I agree with everything everyone said there. They're just underestimated in Ireland.
Well, what is it? Begrudgery?
Begrudgery. That's all it is. Anytime I say, like, you two, oh, I hate them, they're that Bono fella. And to me, if you ask me, Bono, I've never met him now, unfortunately, but, like, I think he lacks in kind of, he's a bit insecure. So he uses the sunglasses and, like, he wears high heels, like, his shoes are slightly higher because he's a bit smaller.
Right.
But I think it's just kind of, he's extrovert just to make himself look confident. But I think he lacks a little bit in confidence at times. You know, my opinion, that's just my opinion now.
Okay.
And then if I see anything on Facebook, I'll always go into the comments to see. And I only have to go down one or two comments and it's the big grocery. They're not paying tax in Ireland and Bono is a such and such. And, you know, like, I mean, I remember them on The Simpsons, like, they were actually making fun of Bono themselves, like, you know, himself, like, and it was very funny. Like, so to me, they're just down to earth, you know. I think it's just begrudgery.
singer Paul Byram is with us as well on the line. Paul, you've been listening to the discussion. Do you think they're underappreciated, or why don't we appreciate them enough?
You know, it's funny. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Paul. Yeah, I can indeed.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm very rarely reaching a station, but you've triggered something in me today with this, because here's my thing. I think it opens a wider discussion. I think we as a country undervalue our artists. That are abroad doing well and flying the flag. There's a huge amount of bands and acts out there doing wonderful, wonderful things for the country. And as soon as they come home, there's this kind of like roll of the eyes, you know. Like, I always joke about kind of, you know, the old story about the Irish person walking down the road looking up at this big mansion. And the American talks about how one day he's going to save up and work really hard and get a mansion like that. And the Irish guy turns around to him and says, you know, I knew him when he had nothing. So, like, we have to level you.
We've got to bring you right back down, Dirk Ball.
Yeah, there's this level of kind of like, Arda Bono, isn't he a pain in the backside? You know, and like, he's out there doing wonderful stuff. I was in New York many years ago, and Jimmy Fallon was starting the Saturday Night Show, and there was a few handful of us invited to the opening performance of this segment of the show, which was on the top of the Rock in Manhattan.
Right.
And who was the opening act? Only U2. And I stood there amongst 30 other people looking at four lads from Dublin belting out their tunes and helicopters swirling around them. And I just thought to myself, like, they are Irish. How could you not be proud of them? Like, what is wrong with us? As a country, often we're just too quick to put down our own. You know, and we'll always find a reason, if it's not their taxes, or he's going on about release the debt, or he's going on about Africa. Well, what about our own? You know, they're just, there's always something, and somebody will always be quick to kind of put them down.
Yeah. Because if they were American,
or
British,
Taylor Swift rocked into town, or Coldplay, as you said, sure, we're falling over ourselves to pawn at them, you know. And I do think it does open a wider discussion. I think Irish artists, as somebody myself even who works abroad, you know, I do find, and I hate to say it because I don't want to sound like I'm kind of like bitter or angry, but not. I'm very happy in my own content way. But like, you do find you're more appreciated abroad, you know. And even when it comes to payment, like things like payment, you know, you would never have to question about getting paid for a gig abroad. Whereas in Ireland, they're like, but you're only singing a couple of songs.
Yeah. Really, sure, wouldn't you do us a turn? And yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you talking about getting paid? You're only singing a song. So it opens a wider discussion. And I think it's a brilliant discussion that you're having. And I just thought I'd bring in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just a U2 thing, sadly. We as a country are very quick to knock somebody that's doing very, very well.
And terrible. It's really terrible because we're, you know, we have, I think we have a totally different notion of ourselves, Paul.
I do. And it's funny because we're punching above our weight as a country in what we're churning out. You know, like when you look at even Hozier at the moment, I mean, Hozier is just phenomenal. I was only yesterday talking to Brian Dunphy from the Hikings. And I mean, they're traveling around the world at the moment, filling out venues. One of the hardest working bands in the world. And yet at home here, they get very little recognition at all, you know. So it's sadly just an Irish thing, and I can't put my finger on it, and none of us can.
We want to know what it is. What is the reason that we're so quick to drag our own down and rather than, you know, promote people and encourage them and shout about our own as well across the country. Singer Paul Byron. Paul, thanks a million for ringing in, contacting us here today on the show.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.